This is Larry Williams Drive. Are you ready? News Talk ZB.
Good evening. It's now 7 past 5. Well, the government has today ordered an urgent report on airbags as 180,000 vehicles in New Zealand may need replacements. Millions of vehicles fitted with the Takata airbags have been recalled in Australia as they have the potential to spray shrapnel. The fault has been linked to more than 20 deaths worldwide. California man Alexander Brangman lost his daughter in 2014 when the airbag exploded in her rental car. And Alexander Brangman joins us from the United States. And good evening, and thank you for your time, Alexander.
Thank you, Larry. Yes, this is a very serious issue. I appreciate you taking the time to bring awareness and addressing this serious matter.
Right, so you've experienced the worst damage these faulty Takata airbags can cause. How are they dangerous? Why are they dangerous?
Well, the notion that the substances that are being used for these particular airbags is questionable in itself. It's very similar to a hand grenade due to the ammonia nitrate, which is an unstable explosive actually used in terroristic tactics. When it's put into a metal airbag canister, it deteriorates and explodes shrapnel metal. That's how my daughter died. The shrapnel metal exploded and hit her carotid artery and killed her. And there's been similar incidences with some of the 22 other deaths here.
How successful has the U.S. been in removing these from cars?
Well, I would say marginally. The recall is mandatory, but less than 50% completion rate.
There's lawsuits all over the place, isn't there?
Yes. In my mind, it's an epidemic. There is incompetence on all levels, those who are handling the recall process. It seems to be more of a reactionary process as opposed to proactive, and systemically the recall system in itself has its flaws.
In the United States, do you believe there has been unethical behavior in the industry?
Completely. Completely. The ethical and moral decision processes that have transpired are unconscionable in my mind. Obviously, if the proper decisions were being made, we would not be in this situation, because this is something that's preventable. Takata covered up this problem for over 10 years by destroying evidence and altering data. Corporate greed over profits, with profits over lives, is completely unethical, and poor decision-making and poor behavior.
Right, the airbag manufacturer is one thing. What about the manufacturers of the cars? Do you believe that they knew that the airbags were faulty?
I do, that they were complicit also in it, because it's about sales. Here in the U.S., lawsuits allege that 5 automakers, Honda, Toyota, Ford, Nissan, and BMW, already knew that there was a deadly defect and were complicit in Takata's cover-up.
Are cars still being sold in the United States with these faulty airbags?
Yes, as of last year.
New cars?
Yes. Brand new, and they're not telling anybody.
There is currently a voluntary recall for these airbags in New Zealand. You know, Australia have basically banned them and banned the cars from operating. There's a voluntary recall for these airbags in New Zealand. Do you think there should be more done? What do you think should happen?
I think it should be mandatory. And it is known that there are faulty airbags in these cars, it should be a stop and desist. They shouldn't be allowed to even be on the road. It's an imminent danger waiting to happen.
Alexander, thank you very much. Appreciate it. That is California man Alexandra Brangman, who lost his daughter in 2014 when one of these airbags exploded in her rental car. Now, listening to that is David Crawford, the Motor Industry Association Chief Executive. Hi, David.
Hi.
Right, so you've heard what Mr. Brangman has to say. I mean, why is there such confusion around what cars are affected in this country?
It's a large logistical issue, complicated in New Zealand because of used vehicles which continue to come in from Japan without the recalls being closed out. And that there are two different types of airbags that are at fault, one more risky than the other. And the failure rate with one sort's about 1 in 400, and the higher risk is quite a bit higher than that. We have been talking to the government for some time about assistance, and our view is that the manufacturers here have been trying to manage this recall for the last 5 years. We've asked the government for assistance in managing this in two areas. One, a number of owners do not respond to the recall notice. Mm. And we're saying, you know, after a certain period of time, if they don't reply within a certain period of time, how can we ensure that they do bring their vehicles in? And second, used imported vehicles, we're not against their importation, but we don't want them to pass border compliance unless the person importing them can show that the recall's been completed, because then what happens is the distributor here, they haven't bought them in. They don't have line of sight of these vehicles, and it's quite hard to find out who owns these vehicles and where they are.
Are we still bringing these vehicles in with dodgy airbags?
Not new, but we are with used vehicles, or the used importers are, not the manufacturers and distributors.
Right, but we have but we have thousands of these vehicles coming every week, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Yes, we do. And at the moment, I just crunched through some numbers last night. We've identified around about 320,000 vehicles in New Zealand with the potentially faulty airbag, and 135,000 have had those inflators replaced. Probably about another 80,000 to 100,000 have received letters and not actioned them, and the rest we're waiting for parts to arrive. So it's complicated in that each model has a unique airbag inflator, so you can't just take an airbag for this model and put it in another model of the same make, let alone into a different brand of vehicle altogether. And because there's over 100 million vehicles worldwide affected, trying to get all the parts all at once was also difficult.
What do you think should happen here? I mean, it's voluntary at the moment. Should it be mandatory like what they're doing in Australia?
I do believe the most at-risk airbag inflator should be mandatory, but it shouldn't be just mandatory on the manufacturer, because the weak point in the system is not the manufacturer, it's the current owners of the vehicles who don't respond to the letters. So our view is we have to find a way that it's mandatory on both the manufacturer and the current owner of the vehicle, so it's not left as a discretionary decision on the owner of the vehicles. So earlier last year, there was a faulty airbag inflation in Australia, and really sadly, it killed the person in the car. But that person had received five letters and hadn't responded to any of them.
Mm. What needs to be done now then, do you think, David?
We have suggested to the government that they could manage this by withholding warrant of fitness and giving people up to 20 working days once they bring their car in for a warrant of fitness to have the recalls closed out. And to date, the government, while looking at it, have been slow and at times reluctant to manage that process. But I think with the attention that Australia is giving this issue, I'm hopeful that they'll have another look at it.
All right, David, thank you very much. That is David Crawford, the Motor Industry Association Chief Executive. It's 5:15.